from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the land of the free, and the home of the brave.
Oh, imagine waking up to that this morning. Good morning. 8:03 the time. The sun is out. It looks like it's going to be a beautiful day today after... Were you in a spot yesterday where you had like the penny size hail or whatever?
Yeah. It was something, man.
That was... I mean, we did not get the hail. But lightning, thunder, it looked like our street was going to flood for a minute.
The 33, did you see that video of the 33?
No.
It had closed at 33.
Because of what,
underneath
flooding?
The Genesee Bridge, like towards the airport?
Yeah.
I mean, 2 feet of water.
You know what? Okay, I've seen that... I have seen that spot be flooded before. So, okay. I know exactly what that looks like, though. Yeah. Yesterday was a day for weather. We should be good, though, like 70s and sunny throughout today. 803-0550 is the phone number. That national anthem. Ingrid Andress, country music artist that did the national anthem before the Derby last night. Greg Thompson now on the Western Hotline. Greg, is that the worst anthem of all time? Has it replaced? Well, I guess what was your number one before that? It could have been Carl Lewis or Fergie. It was pretty bad.
Yeah, I think that was obviously the unifying moment that our nation needed to heal, was all of us coming together to unanimously hate that national anthem. It was really beautiful to see. I think, you know, Roseanne doesn't count because she did it on purpose. Carl Lewis and Fergie were trying to do a good job and just didn't. And I saw some people say, like, she's been nominated for 4 Grammys and is, like, a legitimate good singer.
Yeah.
So, like, I almost was like, did something go wrong last night? I don't know. It was maybe the worst one I've ever heard. It was terrible.
I think it might have been the worst one. It's at least on the Mount Rushmore of bad anthems, if not the worst of all time. Greg from Cover One, you can follow him on Twitter, @GregThompson. Bills training camp just over a week away. The rookies, though... reporting today. So let's start there, Greg, with the rookie class. And we've talked so much Coleman. I kind of want to ask about Cole Bishop to start here, because he goes in the same round. I mean, it's later in the round, of course. But how much are you expecting that, one, he'll get a shot to become one of the starting safeties, and two, what you have seen from his game and how you think it would look if he was someone that was going to be on the field early in the season?
So I do think that, obviously, as we've seen every year, Brandon Bean kind of covers himself going into the draft. We very rarely see them go in with just gaping holes where, hey, you have to make this pick because we don't have anyone else. So Taylor Rapp gets a deal where he could make up to $15 million, up to $5 million-ish a year, but has a pretty healthy amount guaranteed. Sounds like a pretty locked in, at least their assumption as a starter. And then they signed Mike Edwards, and that seemed like, okay, that's like a pretty good Band-Aid. That's someone that we could see come in, and they gave him, again, a reasonable amount of money, $2.8 million. This isn't some veteran minimum guy with no guarantees fighting for a roster spot. Like, this is a guy on our team. So going in, I think a lot of people had that as the default. I'm going to be really surprised if Edwards can hold off Cole Bishop for very long, at least. I think Bishop is, one, a pretty special athlete, and I think it's going to translate really, really well to what they want in the versatility. You know, last year I think we saw Taylor Rapp had to play in the deep areas of the field a lot because they found kind of a niche role that was working really well in those dime setups where Jordan Poyer basically became a linebacker and just, you know, played down there in there in the box, and his combination of willingness and, you know, tenacity translated really well. That's probably also what Taylor Rapp would have been really, really good at, but, you know, they needed that because at the stage of his career, that's just simply what Jordan Poyer, you know, was best suited for. So I think now having a guy where Bishop can float back in, you know, the deep third, he could be single high, he can probably be the only guy in that safety group who can get from the middle of the field to outside the hash to try to defend one of those honey hole shots. I think he has that skill set to be there. So, you know, I won't be shocked if Mike Edwards gets the first rep out there. I won't be shocked if he lines up week one. But, you know, we get to week six, week eight, week nine, I expect it to be Cole Bishop out there and for the foreseeable future with the team.
How about after the second rounders, Coleman and Bishop, the rest of the draft, who's most interesting to you going into camp here?
I was a big fan of Dwayne Carter coming into the draft. I was kind of hopeful they would get him, so that one was exciting. I actually thought he might be the second-round pick. So getting him in the third was a really nice pick up there, and especially with the way that we've seen, you know, every team rotates their defensive line. That's not a Bills thing. Every single team rotates defensive linemen. Having somebody in there where we've had that weird combination the last couple of years where all of our backup linemen look like a one tech, but they play like a three tech, and nobody really knows who's best suited for what. Now we actually have by far the most defined defensive line we've had in a long time. Like, Daquan Jones is the one tech. His backup is Austin Johnson, who is a one tech. Ed Oliver is our three tech. His backup is Dwayne Carter, who is also a three tech. I actually think Dwayne Carter will play alongside Ed Oliver in the obvious passing downs, and that'll be really nice. I like Javon Solomon. I think he has some potential to really turn into something. I'm not 100% we'll see that right off the bat in year one, but I think he's a nice developmental piece. I think that could be really, really fun. And Edifuan Ulufoshio, I think, is a really nice developmental piece from a linebacker standpoint. We'll see him on special teams and kind of learning behind there and maybe even pushing Dorian Williams a little bit. I think that could be possible.
Greg Thompson on the Western Hotline from Cover One. The other rookie, fourth rounder, Ray Davis, he's, I think, going to play, right? I want the backfield in general and how Davis factors into that, Greg, is interesting because last year, I mean, they went into the year with both Harris and Murray on the team behind Cook, and Murray played a lot of those third and long snaps because of his ability as a pass blocker. So how Cook is developed and what's behind him, how do you kind of see the roles getting split up there? And also, like, the workload. I mean, I thought Cook was great last year, and the Bills did run the ball more at the end of the year. But I look at his size and just think, you know, he had almost 300 touches last year. I don't know how much higher they would expect he can go on that.
Yeah, I think I don't know about higher. I think he can have a healthy workload again, but last year he had a very healthy workload when you're talking about 281 touches. But that's an enormous amount, especially for a guy who doesn't even carry 200 pounds on his frame. So I don't know that I expect more than 280, but I do think that that 260 to 280, you know, whatever you want to call that. In today's NFL, that's a bell cow back. That's, you know, he was the primary back in all sense of the term. I expect that again. He is the guy. This is not a split backfield. This is not a shared backfield. He is the guy. But I also don't expect it to become 300, 320, or any Derrick Henry nonsense or anything like that. So I think the biggest one is more touches left than what I think a lot of people realize. And certainly, you know, when I went back to prepare and, you know, Aaron and I do our position preview shows and go through the running backs, I think it's easy to forget that, you know, Latavius Murray had 79 carries, mm-hmm. and Damian Harris had 23, and Leonard Fournette had 12. And when you talk about having 114 carries vacated with Ty Johnson still having his, 114 is a lot. And then those guys also had another healthy chunk of about 40 targets. So if we just replace that, let's say Ty Johnson stays about the same, maybe a slight increase. I actually think he's going to be our kick return guy with the new rule, so I think he'll get more touches that way. I think Ray Davis could come in and have 100 to 110 carries and 30 to 40 targets, and that's a heck of a role as a rookie. Like, that's what we wanted our backup guy to be. He's a little bit thicker than James Cook is, so some of the things we tried to do with Latavius Murray, Damian Harris, Leonard Fournette, now we just put it all into one fourth-round rookie's body, and, you know, maybe Ty Johnson gets a slight bump there, and it's 100 carries for Davis and 45 for Ty Johnson. He goes from 30 to 45, but I actually think it's slotted pretty well to what we had last year. It just was three different bodies, and now we're going to consolidate that down.
Yeah, and Greg, too, I throw in there that Josh Allen had 111 attempts, and I would bet that going into the season, the plan for Josh Allen was to have significantly less than that. So if you consider, let's say Josh Allen takes a dip in 10%, and he dips just below 100 attempts this year, which I think is probably a safe assumption, as long as they don't get in the same situation they got in last year, where it's sort of like the break glass in case of emergency. To me, that means there's even more touches available. And this goes from an offense where you'd think, and you think about largely, that this was a pass-first offense, and it has been a pass-first offense. But when you consider your quarterback is getting 100 carries a season, I think the idea of the talk about balance, which has been, a conversation that is probably just gets, you know, put into the ground because of how much everybody just wants the Bills to continue to be a pass-first team. I think that it's very possible that if Josh Allen has less carries and the running backs see an increase in 10%, post a drop in 10% for Allen, that this still feels like a team that's throwing first, no?
100%. And I think that it's really easy to see. In the first 11 games last year, Josh Allen had 53 carries. In the last six games, he had 58 carries. So I will almost say I bet we see pretty close to the same, because I think once we get to playoff time and winning the division time, they do take the guardrails off of Josh. I think that, hey, the whole idea isn't that, hey, we don't want you to do it. It's that we need you to be there at the end of the season and in the playoffs when we need you. So let's, kind of do that. So I actually expect that to be similar, but I think the 10% goal probably makes sense. Maybe we try to keep it into the 40s in the first two-thirds of the season, and then, you know, maybe only into the upper 40s or lower 50s in the last stretch of the season. But Josh Allen is still going to run the ball. So whether we're talking 85 carries or 105 carries, it's not going to become 30. Like, he's going to run the ball. But there are more pieces, and now having a Ray Davis build where you have a legit guy who was a finisher in college, he was good at converting on short yardage, he was good at converting at the goal line, I think is something that maybe we see a little bit more of that. We also now obviously have this second-year jump with Dalton Kincaid everyone's kind of expecting, and anybody who watched, you know, the highlights of Keon Coleman, you know, I don't think he's ever going to be some world-beating route runner, but trying to guard him down at the goal line when it's jump ball mentality, like, that's where he's going to translate. So I think that some of the additions and this next step in the offense, maybe Josh doesn't have to be the battering ram quite as often. I still hope that it's, you know, give me the flood route with the layers of options and Josh rolling out and he can run, but maybe now there's enough guys he has faith in where he'll throw it more often.
Greg Thompson, cover one on the Western Hotline. How concerned should we be about their defensive end position? And, I mean, is it just Von Miller and what form he's in? And really, I guess, Greg, do you think if Von looks and in camp, preseason, or early in the year, like, okay, this is maybe better than it was, but it's still not giving us a ton. That's the spot where they might divulge their remaining cap assets?
I absolutely think it's possible. There are guys still out there like a Yannick Ngakoue and other things like that. But I would say I think there's a couple other pieces that they're planning on. One, you brought up Vaughn first. You know, I had virtually written that off as a sunk cost, and that was just, hey, he has to be on the roster because we literally can't release him, so he's just going to be here, but we got to plan otherwise. You know, I think the fact that the team had no leverage to force a restructure or to do what they did, and he worked with them to redo his contract to take guaranteed money that he could have just collected the check for, and they turn it into incentives. And a lot of people, I think, pretty skeptically and understandably, were like, yeah, but he did nothing last year, so you could set it as like one sack and five tackles and he'd get all the money back. And instead, the incentives don't even start until four sacks, and the real money is at 6, 8, and 10 sacks. And he doesn't get all his money back unless he gets 10 sacks and plays 30% of the snaps in the Super Bowl. I was just completely shocked that he was willing to do that and to very literally put his money where his mouth is. Like, the NFL Players Association was not happy that he did that. So I at least respect the fact that he's saying that, no, I'm not just using the normal aspirational speaking that I do and putting positivity out there. I'm putting my money where my mouth is, and I'm going to try to earn that money back. And if he doesn't, it's a significant pay cut from what he was going to get this year. So I respect that.
Go ahead, Greg.
And I think Dwayne Smoot is a bigger signing than what people realize. That's a guy who had four straight seasons of 5-plus sacks and is the compression guy that is going to play really well when Gregory Rousseau is not on the field. He can also help compress the pocket from that side to let A.J. Epenesa, Von Miller, and maybe Javon Solomon rush from the other side, being able to loop around and use the quickness.
Well, that's what I wanted to ask you about, actually, was A.J. Epenesa. And obviously flashed last year, I think, more so than we'd seen from him in the past, or at least at a more consistent level, and obviously gets a little banged up and missed some time last year. But, you know, I thought it was important for him to have that season in a contract year. But the Bills, I think, got him back at a pretty good rate, considering he was a free agent coming off of his best season as a pro. How much do you suspect there being a fifth-year jump for A.J. Epenesa? Because it feels like there's been at least small jumps, a step every year that he's taken. And I'm wondering if this year, and what I would assume to be, Greg, an elevated role, what is a year five step for A.J. Epenesa look like? And maybe how important, how much are they banking on that step being there for him? Because it feels like if he can't take that step, it's a position everybody looks at and is with a little bit of concern with. But if he can't be a more full-time role player, I think they're going to struggle at the position.
Yeah, I think that he was the guy I had planned on losing. I didn't think we were going to be able to afford him. I thought he was going to get a bigger contract than we can afford. I was actually nervous when I heard the announcement that he re-signed, and then the money was, that's less than I expected. So I like the fact that they got him on what I term to be a good deal. It's basically 2 years and $12 million, like $6 million a year, and they can walk away after 1 year. So if he's not the answer, they're not locked in, they're able to do there. But if we're going to spin this positively, I think everyone has simply assumed like 100% that the efficiency we see in Khalil Shakir is just going to translate and get more volume and going to continue to be that efficient. But I don't hear anyone assuming that with A.J. Epenesa, and that he was really efficient and produced really good metrics in smaller opportunities and now is going to get a bigger opportunity to do more. And I don't hear anyone assuming that his efficiency is going to translate at this amount. So there's just this assumption that some players, we think, as they step into bigger roles, he's just going to be just as good, and now he's going to be able to do even more of it. And then other guys who were also really efficient and had really good advanced metrics and a smaller sample size, we don't assume that there. So I would say there's at least a nice opportunity for him to be able to step forward here and have a more prominent role. I do expect him, I don't know, nominally like starter is such a relative term. Are they going to actually start Von Miller? But AJ is going to play more. I do expect him to play more snaps than Von Miller. But I do think this is a huge opportunity for him, whether that's to make good on maybe one more chance to get a nice contract or to finally cash in here. I think that he's going to play well. And, you know, we have seen that. Can he take that jump from the six and a half sacks we've seen multiple times here to a 10-sack guy, to an 8-sack guy? I think that there's definitely a translation there. And, again, if you look at his metrics, just bumping up to starting caliber snaps, I certainly think that's what it shows.
What do you think, Greg, this all adds up to? We've done a lot on the defense here, really almost at every level. Like, upside versus, like, the ceiling, I mean, versus the floor, does it feel like they have the potential to be, once again, like a top five defensive unit? I mean, they were kind of at the end of last year. It really didn't come out that way in the totals just because that middle portion with all those injuries, you know, they had a month there that did not look great, but if they stay healthy, I mean, top five unit, that's not a stretch, right?
I think that obviously ceiling, floor, you know, puts that into context. I would say I'm not predicting them to be top five, but I think I expect them to be a very good defense again. I think it's probably the best, you know, middle front that they've had in a long time. So having Ed Oliver becoming genuinely a superstar, every metric and every statistic showed him as a top four defensive tackle last year. When you're talking about pressures, quarterback hits, sacks, it was, you know, Aaron Donald, Chris Jones, Justin Madubuike, and Ed Oliver. Like, he was there in every single one. So if he maintains that level of production, and Daquan Jones was playing even better than that before he got hurt, I don't expect quite that level. Daquan Jones was in a world where it was him and Aaron Donald in just about every metric, and I would love to see that again, but I think that was maybe just a career peak for him. But again, I talked about the legitimate backup structure that they had there. Austin Johnson's by far the best backup one tech we've had in this entire McDermott Bean range, to be able to have somebody who is not some, like, oh my God, what happens when Daquan's off the field? Who's going to keep the linebackers clean? Who's going to help stop the run? We have a guy now who has been a starter every other spot that he's been in. I talked about Dwayne Carter. And I think that leads to now, you know, on our last show with Aaron, he talked about the kind of that transition that it was always Poyer and Hyde kind of as the safety blanket of the defense. And now it's going to be Mulatto and Bernard. And they're the centerpiece of this defense. They're the guys where we have two guys who are capable of playing at an all-pro level and kind of keeping everything together there. It's always been from back forward over these 6 years. And now I kind of think it's starting maybe middle out or front back in the, you know, that defensive tackle group and those linebackers. That's going to be the centerpiece of this defense. But there still is a centerpiece. There still are guys who are capable at an all-pro level. And, you know, I think we've seen other defenses like that with you use the Rams, you use the Chiefs, you use some of those other groups. They didn't have game-wrecking pass rushers from the outside either. They did it from the middle out, and they got to the quarterback from the defensive tackle spot, and everybody else played from there. So we need Ed Oliver to do it again. We need Daquan Jones to play at least close to the level he was playing at last year before the injury. And if they're able to do that, they still can have a very, very good defense.
At Greg Thompson, if you want to follow him on Twitter, he will be at training camp. We look forward to seeing you there, Greg. And, you know, you're sending all these tight end trade offers to our one fantasy league. I'm here. I'm here if you want to make a tight end trade in our fantasy league.
We'll take a look at it. I did send an immense amount of offers out there, yeah. Mostly people who had multiple, but I'll see what I can do.
All right.
Hold on, though. My favorite thing was after the trade, Greg going into the chat and saying, "You guys made me do this. You guys made me trade with Bruce Nolan, just so you know." And there's like this unspoken thing where
you're yelling at the rest of the league.
You shouldn't trade with Bruce Nolan because it just feels like Bruce always, he just has a treasure trove of picks and his roster is really good.
Every league have that one guy where they make a trade and the rest of the league goes, "Oh, how could you trade with him again?
Yeah. Is that definitely Bruce, Greg?
It's 100% where it is, and I'm not exaggerating. I sent out 17 other trade offers before finally trading with Bruce because I was trying everything in my power not to trade for Travis. I'm happy I got Travis Kelce. I'm happy with that. But I wanted to get anyone else's tight end without having to trade with him.
And isn't it, if you ever negotiated anything, it doesn't even have to be fantasy football with Bruce Nolan, it's like – he just wears you down with this level of sophistication and gentle. It's like he's whispering to you. He's like,
"Oh no,
take the deal."
He's very good. He's as someone that
has been this individual in other leagues, he's got the science down.
And not only that, he is the only person I know that can convince me that 2028 fifth round pick actually has a lot of value.
Well, then that's a you problem.
Like he's like, Nate. He's like, I don't want to do this. I didn't want to do this, but I'm gonna throw.
Here's six fab dollars on top of it.
He's like, let me tell you. I value so much. He's like, I got blankety blank 3 years ago in the fifth round. I'm gonna you know, beef up this offer. Here's a 2028 fifth. If you don't take it now, I'm taking it off the table. He's just he's unbelievable.
It's a gift. It's a gift.
Yeah. All right, Greg, appreciate the time, and we'll chat soon.
Appreciate you guys.
Greg Thompson, Cover One. We will take a timeout here. It's Give716 Day, give716.org if you want to donate over the $400,000 threshold. Let's get to $500,000. When we come back, we have some breaking news.
Hashtag breaking news.
So stay tuned. An announcement, breaking news on the other side. Stay tuned. Joe DiBiase, Nate Geary, Chris Brown's going to join us as well coming up next here on WGR.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Here's the snap. Allen gonna keep it and run. Looking for the end zone, and he's in! Josh Allen, the beast, has been released! It's a 5-yard touchdown run for Buffalo!
Bills rookies are reporting today to training camp. Football is almost here. We'll be at St. John Fisher a week from tomorrow. Very exciting. Chris Brown on the call there on the touchdown from last season. And we have some very exciting news to share with everybody here on WGR. It was just made official. The Bills and Odyssey are thrilled to announce that Chris Brown is officially the new voice of the Buffalo Bills in the radio booth going forward. So Chris Brown is now on the Western Hotline. Chris, congratulations. Awesome news.
Wow, the applause, too. Thank
you. The applause.
Thank you so much. You guys really went all out there. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Humbled and honored to be named, you know, the next play-by-play broadcaster for the Bills. Special thanks to the Pegula family, Terry Pegula especially, and Pete Quelly over with the Bills, and then Tim Wenger and Alan Davis over at Odyssey. I should also thank my wife, who is easily my best supporter and advocate, and has been even before we were married, as far as my career goes. It's a big day.
It's awesome news. There were a lot of applicants, too. There's a thorough search, triple digits. I know people were applying all over the country, even some out of the country. So you are only the third full-time play-by-play radio broadcaster in Bills history with Van Miller and, of course, Murph. And you would have had experiences with Van also, right, even before Murph?
Yeah, so my first year on the Bills radio network as a Bills pregame host was Van's last year calling games. So, yeah, I mean, I was very fortunate. And even before that, I had been in touch with Van because he used to come to me in the press box Sunday mornings before Bills games, because I was doing University at Buffalo games in the early 2000s there, when he was still calling Bills games. And he would come over and just chat with me, because he would go to the University at Buffalo games, sit in a box, and he'd listen to me on his transistor radio with an earpiece, which was a little intimidating at the time. But he could not have been more gracious in just sitting down and chatting with me for like 5 minutes almost every Sunday, you know, during the football season, because I was there early in the press box, so was he, and it was just the two of us like chatting for 5 minutes. And yeah, so I just feel very fortunate to have been counseled by him, learned from him, and then obviously I've worked with Murph for over 20 years. So I am well aware of the standard that those two men have set for this job. I know the responsibility I've been entrusted with now to uphold that standard going forward, and I'm fully committed to living up to it.
Yeah. Is this a job you, like, growing up or even beyond that, like, you thought you'd do, or was, like, the dream job? Like, voice of the Bills, like, that's got to hit, you know, it's got to feel incredible. Just even that phrase, play-by-play full-time announcer, but voice of the Bills after Van, after Murph. But is this a job that you kind of had dreamed about, or was it maybe something that just kind of came more about recently for you?
No, yeah, this it was funny. I was just thinking about this the other night. I moved to Buffalo 30 years ago, almost to the day, July 14th, 1994. Fresh out of school and all of that stuff. And it was largely because I couldn't get a radio job, you know, down on Long Island where I'm from originally. So, you know, I've spent more than half my life here now. I consider myself a Buffalonian. I married a Buffalo girl. Both my kids were born here. And, you know, I've covered this team for almost 30 years now. But this was, I'm not going to lie, it was an end game. I applied for this job 21 years ago. Now, believe me, I knew what the landscape was, and Murph's credentials were far better than mine at the time. But, you know, it's not like I was not going to apply. So it's kind of funny that, you know, it's kind of worked out this way. I was reading, with the Olympics coming up, I was reading this story from Mark Spitz, the famous swimming Olympian who won 7 gold medals back in 72. And I was just taken with a quote that he had, which, you know, he said, "Great things take a while." And this is, for me, it's one of those things.
Yeah, for sure. What about in terms of, like, what you learned from Murph, from Van, or even beyond, like, the time that you've done the job on an interim basis between, you know, the first couple games you did and what you're going to be experiencing going into this upcoming season?
Yeah, I mean, I think the best thing that Murph taught me was you have to keep working at it. Like, just because you're doing it doesn't mean you've arrived. It's a constant skill that you have to hone and try to improve as you move along. Nobody's perfect. And, you know, after the season, I listen back to games and I try to find areas where I think, you know, oh, maybe my tonal quality could be better here. Or, oh, you know what, I should have you know, taken note of what the yard line was, so I knew instantaneously that that long touchdown was 54 yards. So there are little things that, you know, you try to improve upon and be hyper aware of in the moment. It's easier said than done with all the things that are going on in a football game. You know, game clock, regular clock, play clock, who's coming on, who's coming off. And, you know, we all have help for that in the booth, obviously, but there are a lot of moving parts. You just try your best to master all of those so you can deliver the best broadcast possible so all Bills fans can enjoy it.
Yeah. Are you, because you're, of course, the centerpiece of the broadcast, you know, the play is going through you. Are you kind of the maestro of all that too, like where things are being funneled to you? Like, you have so much help, as you just mentioned, with, you know, the yard markers, like the distance that a play is, where if you're listening to a broadcast and you don't see like the mechanics of it, you know, you might think like, how do they know exactly the yard market, the yard of a touchdown, like that moment or like that quickly? Of course, Greg Harvey on the, you know, with the other, like the mechanical stuff with like sponsors and stuff. I guess just kind of, It seems like a lot, but experience, I'm sure, has been helpful with that.
Yeah, and, you know, I think that's what's going to only enhance the broadcast this coming season, because I've had a 24-game run-up with this crew. And I know I've said it before, even on the air with you and Jeremy, Joe, you know, like, I could not have asked for a better situation to get dropped into. I mean, between Greg Harvey and Todd Brody and, you know, Sal and Eric Wood, like, I was very fortunate to kind of get dropped into that on the fly with very little notice. And they made it seamless for me. So that's how good it was from the jump with zero prep. You know, now we're kind of entering a second full season here. So I just think we kind of hit the ground running. I mean, yes, look for ways to make the whole thing better, you know, and maybe tweak a thing here or there. But I really feel like we can hit the ground running with some momentum here.
And you'll, of course, be, you know, carrying us through to the new stadium as well. Is there a stadium that comes to mind that if you could hit a magic button and have them redo the broadcast booth or where the visiting booth is that you would change right now? Who's got the worst one?
Well, I think this is kind of unanimous, certainly amongst us on our broadcast team, but talking to some other play-by-play guys around the league, they are pretty much in unison on this. Miami is just a bad spot.
Okay.
Just from a viewpoint, they finally allowed the glass to slide open. You couldn't even open the glass because you have to literally stick your head out the window to see the far left corner of the end zone when they're at the other end of the field. And the year before, I mean, I was pushing my face up against the glass, trying to see down there. Uh-huh. So at least you can slide the window open now. But, of course, they put the sliding window in, and there's a giant bar down the middle of the window space. And it's very tight. If I had one wish, it would be to make the Miami box better.
Chris Brown on the Western Hotline. The Bills and Odyssey making it official today. Chris, the full-time radio play-by-play announcer of the Buffalo Bills, voice of the Buffalo Bills going forward, taking over for John Murphy. So the season's upcoming. You've been talking about it, of course, on One Bills Live as well here on WGR. But camp a week away, Is it have to be receiver, the number one thing that you're looking forward to seeing from the Bills at St. John Fisher?
I think it's going to draw the most eyeballs, Joe, right? Like, you know, you lose two targets that were, you know, basically proven, you know, commodities in the receiving core. I mean, you can argue whether Gabe Davis was a true number two or if he was more of a three based on his production the last couple of years. But those guys were two stalwarts in the receiving core who delivered a lot of big plays, and there's been a vacuum created with, you know, their departures. So I think it's only natural that fans and media are going to gravitate to the receiver position through the balance of camp. But I think there's a lot that we still have to uncover at the safety position. I think, you know, Matt Mulato's return to full-scale action is something that is probably an under-discussed topic, you know, going into this season, because I think some people forget the first 3 weeks of the season, Bernard and Milano looked like one of the best linebacker duos in the league. I mean, after three games, the team had like 10 takeaways. They were leading the league, and Milano and Bernard were in the middle of all of that. You know, and then Milano has the injury in week five out in London, and it all goes up in smoke. So I think those are just some of the few things. And I think there are going to be some young upstarts that are going to really push some veterans for some starting jobs, whether it's Kyir Elam at corner. You know, maybe there's a surprise on offense with one of those younger receivers maybe overtaking a more recognized name on the roster as well.
Yeah. Next Wednesday, we'll get camp officially underway at St. John Fisher. Rookies reporting today. You can hear Chris a little bit on One Bills Live later on. Again, congratulations, Chris. I'm super happy for you. I can already tell just from seeing Twitter that Bills Mafia is super happy for you as well. So congrats, and I'll talk to you coming up at camp.
Thanks, Joe. We'll see you soon. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Chris. Chris Brown, the new voice of the Buffalo Bills going forward, starting this season with 17 regular season games and then hopefully some playoff games along the way as well. All right, time out here. It is Give 716 Day. Reminder, give716.org if you want to donate. All right, where are we at? Where are we at on the counter? We want to get to 500,000 at least before the end of the show. We're at 466,000. So come on, let's go. We're going to have some big numbers by the end of the day. You know, over a million would be awesome. And I think that's a pretty reasonable goal. But it's only 8:45 a.m. already about halfway there. But I think we can get halfway there. We can get halfway there by the end of the show. 8 o'clock hour, which you still have another 15 minutes. First 100 donors of $117.60 or more will get Bills preseason tickets sponsored by Wegmans. All other incentives coming along the way as well. There'll be Bandits autograph stuff, Bills autograph stuff as well. So stay tuned and check it out at give716.org. Time out here. Jody Biasi here on Jeremy and Joe. Jeremy off until next week at training camp. He'll be back. This is WGR.
Is your 2024 T-Mobile Home Run Derby champ.
Sounds like my 7-iron shots. Get legs. Because you can tell. You know when it's going to be a little bit short. Is that what you yell when your shot's going to be short? Get legs?
I usually have the problem.
Go. You might just yell go.
Yeah, or I just blade it so I don't have the problem of it going
sit.
Short. I have the I usually yell sit.
What are the most common phrases here? Sit, stick,
be good.
Be good is a good one. Yeah. Be the number.
Oh, I've never heard that one.
Be the number is when the ball is in the air, and you're not quite sure if it's going to be short or long, and be the number because you know. That ball is straight as can be. It is right at the pin.
Oh,
but
so
you just don't know what the distance is going to be.
Yeah,
right. So be the number is be the right distance because if it is, then it's going to be like in the hole. Yeah. And then there's all the curse words when I duff a chip, of course.
Yeah, I haven't had it where it's been short lately. Like everything chipping, any sort of wedge, it's just there's no loft to it. It just goes straight.
Yep.
And it looks like a great iron shot.
And then there's your phrases for your partner or whoever you're playing with, which is that'll work, of course, right? Something that's like a drive that's a little off, but it's fine, right? It's maybe near the trees, but it's not in the trees. Like, oh, you'll be that'll work.
That'll play.
That'll play is right. That'll play is better. Yeah. 803-0550 is the phone number. You ever play with a golfer that's so good when you don't know when to say nice shot?
I've had it where I've said nice shot and they're like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, no, right.
Like, that was terrible. And I was like, okay.
Right. Like there's a standard here where you kind of got to know the quality of the person you're playing with because I've actually been binge watching Bryson DeChambeau's YouTube channel recently. He's got a great YouTube channel. He's much more likable than he's been in past years when he was kind of a jerk. And I'm like, all right, let me give his YouTube channel a try because everyone says it's like really good. And DeChambeau is playing in one of his videos with like one of the YouTuber golfers, I think, or maybe, no, it was one of the long drive guys. It was one of the long drive champion guys. And I realized in this video that the long drive champion guys are not actually that good at golf. Like, I thought they at least could golf a little bit. Like, they're not very good. At least the one guy wasn't. So, DeChambeau just uncorks a drive. He probably hit this thing 350 yards. But it kind of was high, I guess, and flew out a little bit to the right. And the guy's like, wow, that was a great shot. And DeChambeau is just like, nah, I hit the toe. You know, like, if you're, I played with Jeff Blank from Tee to Green at Niagara Falls Country Club last week for before the Porter Cup. And he, or Porter Cup, yeah, Porter Cup's this week. Jeff is a 2 handicap, and I'm like a 15, 16. So he's hitting shots that for me would be like, great shot. And I realize as the round's going on, like, he's probably not happy with that. Like, okay, he's on in 2, right? He's green in regulation, but he's 50 feet from the pin. He probably doesn't like that. So I don't think I'm going to say nice shot.
Do you ever
Because I could see his reaction is like, I could have done better there.
Do you ever unintentionally like do that to someone else? Like someone tells you great shot and you're like, it just wasn't what I wanted. It wasn't that good. But in reality, it was. You're just like, I don't know.
No, for me, like I'm not a good enough golfer to where anything that you would say is a nice shot, I think I would accept. And I would probably agree with.
I've had moments where I'm like, I have a string of like 3 or 4 good shots, like between like across like 2 holes. And then like by like the 3rd or 4th one, it'll be like good. But in my eyes, for the past few, it's not good. And someone would be like, what are you talking about? Like, this is great. And I just like, I get in my own head that way, I guess.
Most common golf phrases, by the way, Alec just tweeted in, bite. That's that. Ooh. When the ball's in the air. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Bite. And then Jeff had another one. That's a good miss for when your partner like skulls the ball or like tops it, but it rolls 100 yards forward. That's a good one, too. 803-0550 is the phone number. Okay. 4 minutes to go in the 8 o'clock hour. And I believe we still got some Bills preseason tickets out there. If you don't, for the first 100 donors of $117.60 or more, sponsored by Wegmans. The 9 o'clock hour for Give 716 Day is we try to get to 500,000 by the end of the show. Highmark, all right, $25,000 matching donation, $25,000 matching donation for Highmark coming up in the 9 o'clock hour. So. You got that. And then at 10 o'clock, Bandits signed lacrosse ball to the first 300 donors of $50 or more. So 10 o'clock, Bandits signed lacrosse ball. But for the next hour, Highmark will be with $25,000 matching donations in the 9 o'clock hour as we get rolling towards a million. And more recently or quicker, we'll get to 500,000, hopefully, by the end of the show. Stay tuned. Jody Biasi, Nate Geary at the Duckout. So I'll take you the rest of the way. We'll get you off to the Extra Point Show coming up at 10 here on WGR.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress.
Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Is your 2024 T-Mobile Home Run Derby champ.
Sounds like my 7-iron shots. Get legs. Because you can tell. You know when it's going to be a little bit short. Is that what you yell when your shot's going to be short? Get legs?
I usually have the problem.
Go. You might just yell go.
Yeah, or I just blade it so I don't have the problem of it going
sit.
Short. I have the I usually yell sit.
What are the most common phrases here? Sit, stick,
be good.
Be good is a good one. Yeah. Be the number.
Oh, I've never heard that one.
Be the number is when the ball is in the air, and you're not quite sure if it's going to be short or long, and be the number because you know. That ball is straight as can be. It is right at the pin.
Oh,
but
so
you just don't know what the distance is going to be.
Yeah,
right. So be
saying.
The number is be the right distance because if it is, then it's going to be like in the hole. Yeah. And then there's all the curse words when I duff a chip, of course.
Yeah, I haven't had it where it's been short lately. Like everything chipping, any sort of wedge, it's just there's no loft to it. It just goes straight.
Yep.
And it looks like a great iron shot.
And then there's your phrases for your partner or whoever you're playing with, which is that'll work, of course, right? Something that's like a drive that's a little off, but it's fine, right? It's maybe near the trees, but it's not in the trees. Like, oh, you'll be fine. That'll work.
That'll play.
That'll play is right. That'll play is better. Yeah. 803-0550 is the phone number. You ever play with a golfer that's so good when you don't know when to say nice shot?
I've had it where I've said nice shot and they're like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, no, right.
Like, that was terrible. And I was like, okay.
Right. Like there's a standard here where you kind of got to know the quality of the person you're playing with because I've actually been binge watching Bryson DeChambeau's YouTube channel recently. He's got a great YouTube channel. He's much more likable than he's been in past years when he was kind of a jerk. And I'm like, all right, let me give his YouTube channel a try because everyone says it's like really good. And DeChambeau is playing in one of his videos with like one of the YouTuber golfers, I think, or maybe, no, it was one of the long drive guys. It was one of the long drive champion guys. And I realized in this video that the long drive champion guys are not actually that good at golf. Like, I thought they at least could golf a little bit. Like, they're not very good. At least the one guy wasn't. So, DeChambeau just uncorks a drive. He probably hit this thing 350 yards. But it kind of was high, I guess, and flew out a little bit to the right. And the guy's like, wow, that was a great shot. And DeChambeau is just like, nah, I hit the toe. You know, like, I played with Jeff Blank from Tee to Green at Niagara Falls Country Club last week before the Porter Cup. And
Porter Cup's this week. Jeff is a 2 handicap, and I'm like a 15-16. So he's hitting shots that for me would be like great shot. And I realize as the round's going on, like, he's probably not happy with that. Like, okay, he's on in 2, right? He's green in regulation, but he's 50 feet from the pin. He probably doesn't like that. So I don't think I'm going to say nice shot.
Do you ever
I could see his reaction is like, I could have done better there.
Do you ever unintentionally like do that to someone else? Like someone tells you great shot and you're like, it just wasn't what I wanted. It wasn't that good. But in reality, it was. You're just like, I don't know.
No, for me, like, I'm not a good enough golfer to where anything that you would say is a nice shot, I think I would accept. And I would probably agree with.
I've had moments where I'm like, I have a string of like 3 or 4 good shots, like between like across like 2 holes. And then, like, by, like, the 3rd or 4th one, it'll be, like, good, but in my eyes, for the past few, it's not good. And someone will be like, what are you talking about? Like, this is great. And I just, like, I get in my own head that way, I guess.
Most common golf phrases, by the way, Alec just tweeted in, bite. That's that when the ball's in the air. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, bite. And then Jeff had another one. That's a good miss. For when your partner like skulls the ball or like tops it, but it rolls 100 yards forward. That's a good one, too. 803-0550 is the phone number. Okay, 4 minutes to go in the 8 o'clock hour. And I believe we still got some Bills preseason tickets out there. If you don't, for the first 100 donors of $117.60 or more, sponsored by Wegmans. The 9 o'clock hour for Give 716 Days, we try to get to 500,000 by the end of the show. Highmark. All right, $25,000 matching donation. $25,000 matching donation for Highmark coming up in the 9 o'clock hour. So, you got that. And then at 10 o'clock, Bandits signed lacrosse ball to the first 300 donors of $50 or more. So, 10 o'clock, Bandits signed lacrosse ball. But for the next hour, Highmark will be with $25,000 matching donations in the 9 o'clock hour as we get rolling towards a million, and more recently or quicker, we'll get to 500,000, hopefully, by the end of the show. Stay tuned. Jody Biasi, Nate Geary at the Duckout. So I'll take you the rest of the way. We'll get you off to the Extra Point Show coming up at 10 here on WGR.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.